Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is the John Thomas Hill Show. Again, not really going to talk a whole lot of stuff on a particular topic today, just kind of giving a general weekend update about what's going on and such. Yesterday, I had orientation at my new job, which I will be a medical screener at through Milestone. I work at a company called Milestone, and I will be working at the Facebook facility in Forest City, North Carolina. And it's going to be pretty sweet. Basically, all I'll be doing is when somebody comes in, one of the employees comes in, I'll be asking them some questions about whether or not they actually been around anybody that's got COVID or have any symptoms of COVID, and taking their temperature. Pretty simple stuff that, given who the mood of whoever's coming in and such, you know, it could be tricky. The reason I say that is I've worked industrial security before. Not everybody wants to be cooperative. And you have to be careful about how you put your authority down. Although I won't really have any authority here, the security guard will, which is why I'm going to be trying to get in good with the security guards, just to make sure they understand that I'm there to help them out and to back them up if necessary. So just to kind of, my job is basically to stay out of their way and just let them do their job, and I'll do my job and all that, and you know, just it basically make sure the facility is safe and all of that, because you don't want anybody going in that actually has a fever or anything like that, or any known symptoms or anything like that. So yeah, it's kind of tricky. The reason it's not really that complicated for me was about two or three weeks before I got let go from West Rock, which is where I used to work, the West Rock facility in Forest City. They were doing the same kind of screenings. It was supervisors doing it. So I'm familiar with the procedures that they're doing. And it's not really anything really shocking that, you know, is necessarily, I mean, there are some things I can't discuss, like what goes on at Facebook, the facility there. I can't go into that, but I did have a little brief tour of it. It's kind of neat. It's mostly servers and such, which is not, this is not anything really shocking. If you are a local, you kind of know what they do anyway to begin with, so I'm not giving anything away that's really shocking. So, but it's kind of neat little job. It'll last for a while, I know, because this thing doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. And the way they've been talking, Facebook is wanting to keep this around for a good long while. That doesn't necessarily mean it'll stay around, because you never know. But I'm kind of thinking that maybe I can get on with security force there, because they do get paid really well, by the way. Let's talk about what's going on in the world of sports. Yesterday we had some incidents where some Major League Baseball players were found to have COVID, and some other things were cropping up. This is kind of the fear that all this, you know, getting back going to where we were before all this struck, the restarting and such, this is the fear that a lot of these businesses have. Baseball right now, the owners and the players are still negotiating. I think I can understand why the owners don't want to have a really long season. They just want to get the season over with and get the postseason over with, so they can get the contractually obligated money from Fox and TBS in and all of that, which I can understand. You know, I think what it's going to come down to is the players are going to get paid more than the games that they would normally have played. I think that's what they're edging for. They're the ones taking the bigger risk in their eyes. And I can understand that, because when you're out there playing baseball or playing any sport, baseball's probably more safer than the other sports, because there's not as much contact in baseball as there is in football, obviously, basketball, especially hockey. So you can kind of get a sense of that baseball is a bit safer, but at the same time, there is no such thing as complete safety. You know, you're going to have to, at first base, the runner on first is going to have to stand by the first baseman more than likely. I don't see them changing that strategy. And it's just, it's one of those crazy things about this whole thing, is it's bringing up a lot of topics that beforehand really were on the back burner, like universal designated hitter, which is basically means they're trying to bring the designated hitter in the National League. I have been on the fence about this. I don't necessarily am against it, but to me, I've always felt like that meant the National League was separate from the American League, and now all of a sudden you're going to bring it in. I mean, interleague play was one thing 23 years ago now when they started that up. That was a real game changer. Obviously, the wild card thing was a game changer before that, about a quarter of a century ago now. Now you're changing it to where it's the National League's going to become basically the American League, where you're not going to have a pitcher bat at all. And on the surface, I don't really have a problem with it. I think it does change the game strategy a lot. And the National League takes away the differentiation between the two leagues. I think that maybe the time is right for that to happen. I really think that when it all comes down to it, there is a need to have this happen, because truth be told, there isn't really much else you can do with baseball right now that's going to fundamentally change the game. I've heard different things about how they're going to change extra innings and all that. I don't really think that'll ever change, unless it gets really deep into extra innings, like maybe the 13th or 14th inning, that they may decide to do that with the runner on first, a runner on second, a runner on second and first, whatever have you, to kind of end the game quicker or make it harder to keep the game going. You know, there is no easy way to change it. I mean, there are ideas out there, but I don't really know if any of them will really fly. So I'll leave it at that. My thoughts in pertaining to getting started back up with the NBA and NHL, I like the idea of the core cities, especially in the NHL, where you have the teams are basically going to play a short tournament. I can't remember exactly. I think only basically they're going to expand the playoffs to, I think, what, 24 teams. The top 8 seeds and the top 4 in each conference will automatically be in, and the bottom 4 will have to face off against the 4 that didn't quite make it to get in, which I like the idea of, and essentially, and the top 4 seeds will play their little round robin to kind of get them fresh and have a little bit of seeding, which doesn't really matter in the NHL playoffs, because you could get a hot goalie. So this is going to be a very interesting. It could be conceivable that the 12th ranked team in a conference with a losing record, who didn't expect to go anywhere, could wind up winning the Stanley Cup. Now the NBA's probably played it a little smarter in the fact they've cut it down to 22 teams that were realistically had a shot at the playoffs. They're bringing to Orlando. They're going to play 8 regular season games, and then they'll start the playoffs. Personally, I think they should just have, like, declare the season done, and then have this be, like, the second phase of the playoffs, and then move on from there. I mean, there's no easy way to do it. Personally, if I were the NBA, I would have done like the NHL would have done. 24 teams, yeah, you would have had teams that didn't deserve to get in the playoffs get there, but it would have basically meant that you would have had a format that would have worked you would have had possibly a shocking upset or two along the way, maybe deep into the playoffs, a true Cinderella and all that. But I think the key here is just getting the seasons over with and then get on to, you know, the next season and trying to figure this stuff out. We're, and you've heard this term until you're sick of it, unprecedented times. You know, by this time we would be done with, or on the verge of being done with, the Stanley Cup and with the Stanley Cup final, and the NBA playoffs would be about ready to be done, and we'd be full into Major League Baseball. We'd be getting ready for the Olympics and all of this, and we would have had the first, or I should say the third major, because they've changed it around. The PGA tournament's in May now instead of in August, which I kind of feel like is a bit silly in my opinion, but you know, what do I know? Here's my thought about how you make sports better in this very difficult time. You don't can fan noises, crowd noises, whatever you want to call it, into the stadiums. You don't do anything gimmicky except mic the coaches, mic the players, and maybe, just maybe, put cameras on the quarterbacks, the middle linebackers, the wide receivers, the defensive backs, the referee, the umpire, some of the officials, and give you some unique camera angles and unique sounds to the game. Obviously, you want to make sure you have it on 7-second delay to where you can bleep out the bad words. But that just means that you could go back, say, like on Showtime's, it's been on HBO, now it's on Showtime, Inside the NFL, where they can do kind of, they can allow for more adult language, to where you can kind of listen to it unfiltered. That'd be a good name for a show, Unfiltered. So NFL Unfiltered, that would be kind of a unique show, to where you could hear where they really are talking, you know, because it's not PG rated, folks, in the NFL, you know. Same goes for the NBA, NHL, and all that, to kind of have that as a unique feature to get people to get involved in the games. Maybe even have it to where you could theoretically listen in to that feed to where you wouldn't have any bleeps at all. But, you know, there, that is kind of walking the line a little bit. The movie theaters are, I think, are starting to get ready to get back, ready to get open again. I think if Phase 3 comes to pass this coming week in North Carolina, I believe the movie theaters will be allowed to open. Let's face it, you know, the biggest problem through all this thing is the fact that nobody was ready for this. Truth be told, nobody could have been ready for something like this. And all the debate about should we reopen bars, should we not reopen bars, should we reopen gyms, should we not reopen gyms, and all of this, it's been kind of crazy. And there's not been any one person, one leader. This could have been the president. He chose not to do it. You can go from there, make it up what you will. But we've not had that one person that's come along and that we've been able to, or persons come along that we've been able to listen and to kind of go, okay, they know what they're talking about, let's follow their lead. And that's been the biggest problem through all of this, is the fact that, oh, by the way, the NHL playoffs, they just broke. NHL playoffs will start on July 30th. Qualifying rounds will begin following a two-week training camp and one exhibition game. So, breaking news. Breaking news. So, I think that movie theaters will have to change after this. People are used to being at home watching movies. If I owned a movie theater, how would I change it? First of all, if I had the money, I'd buy this retro cinema theater that's up here in Rutherford County, North Carolina, Forest City, that, quite frankly, ain't worth anything. because it's outdated, it's old. Even though he's put some money into it to upgrade things, it's not as good as going to a modern theater in Shelby and such. What I would do if I had a facility like that would be bring back classic movies, upgrade everything as best I could, upgrade the dining experience, don't make it a kiddie place unless, make it to where I would even basically expand it, because the whole area, and that we call it the Tri-City Mall around here, needs a major revamping. The parking lot needs to be paved. There's so much that needs to be done. The guy that owns it now is a piece of garbage, in my opinion. And I could go on about this guy. I will not name him for legal reasons, but everybody locally knows who he is. And I think most people would agree that the mall needs a major revamp. But the movie theater really needs a major revamp. And movie theaters in general are going to have to struggle with this. Basically, if I owned a movie theater, I would bring in the new releases, but also try to bring in, if I could, classic movies to show and have an atmosphere where, you got a lot of senior citizens in this area. They're not necessarily wanting to be around other people, especially younger folks right now. If I owned that retro cinema, I would open up early and bring in and have a matinee showing, say, from like 1 or 2 or something like that, and have another two a double header movie of classic movies to where some of the older folks can go in and enjoy it and watch something interesting that isn't necessarily modern and such. Now, what those movies are, I haven't a clue because I'm not sure how you can go about getting those classic movies, especially considering this is a locally owned place that's small run. We could have had eight movie theater here in downtown Forest City, but certain people, aka the guy that owns the Retro Cinema, did not let that happen. But I digress, and I'm still bugged about that. But let's talk about movie theaters in general. You have to improve the experience. First of all, you have to make the food part of the experience. I would dare say, if I owned a place, I would create something to where people can actually sit and dine and watch a movie. That's me. Have luxurious seating, have it to where you're comfortable sitting there and watching the theaters. Not so comfortable that you got people making out, which is always a risk. Of course, right now during this pandemic, I don't think you have to worry about that too much, but and again, secondly, you have to be more flexible. There's no easy way to say it. The movie theater concept, right as it was before, is outdated. People can watch stuff in their homes on just as good, if not better quality televisions, with just as good, if not better quality sound, and not have to get out in public and worry about people talking through a film and all of that. That is what you're dealing with in this era, and you're having to fight against that. So now you've got to find a way to make the experience better for your customers to where they're wanting it to come out to go to your theater and watch a movie. That's the whole key right there, is getting people to watch your movie. And that's not easy, folks. That is not easy whatsoever, especially when you have all the competition going on. The big winner in all of this are streaming services. Boy, did HBO Max launch at a good time, except for the part that they didn't get on Roku and Fire TV. Yeah, not the smartest move on HBO Max's part to not be on Roku and Fire TV. You're starting up a service. Yes, HBO is backed up by AT&T, and they got a lot of money, and they can have a little say so in all of this, but Roku is by far the number one streaming service. Fire TV is arguably number two. a streaming device, I should say. Fire TV is number two. How in the world are you not on the top two streaming devices, device services, out of the gate is beyond me. Now, they're not going to hurt. They're going to get better in time. They're going to eventually get on Roku and Fire TV. Yeah, there is a workaround. You can take your mobile device, cast it to Chromecast, and you can watch it on your big screen that way. That you can do, which I have done because I bought a Chromecast to do just that. Now, and there are other ways you could probably do it too. I've heard there are ways you can get it. You can do it on Roku and Firecast, but it's not going to be as good of quality, and there's always a risk of it being taken off. But if you're especially with Roku, they could take off that app, and you would be out of luck. Yeah, I'll be here in a minute. I'll do another broadcast here soon. Bye. Excuse me, and we're back. Had a little lunch there, and we're back on with it on Spreaker. I'm sorry, Spreaker. We're on with a new show talking about streaming services and devices. And I'm back here. I'm doing this episode of on Anchor. We're just doing a second part of the episode where I'm going to talk about streaming services and devices. Now, I've used Roku on and off for years. I got my first one in 2012. No, it was 2011. And it was pretty rudimentary back then. And now I've updated it to a Roku TV. And it's really nice. You have pretty much every major service on Roku, save for HBO Max, which I talked about earlier. For those of you listening on Spreaker, we talked about it on the earlier episode. Roku is the number one streaming device service that they've got right now. They've got TVs out. They've got the little things you can put into your USB device. You've got the full little disc thing you can put on your TV to plug in. So there are a variety of ways you can even put it on an old-fashioned TV if you've got the old I can't even think of what they're called, RCA connections, yellow, white, and red connections, which are basically the ones you put in for like old VCR or DVD player or PlayStation or Xbox back in the day before HDTV became a thing. So yeah. You can even do that on Roku, and that's a big advantage for them because you could put it on your old-school TVs and still get the benefit of watching streaming services, which is what I had back in the day before I bought a flat screen, and it was actually pretty cool. It's one of those things that you have an advantage there because you could do that and watch it on a regular old-school TV because you can find a big-screen picture tube TV right now for real cheap. On yard sales and whatnot, and you could use it in a basement or something like that if you got a good internet connection. You could use that in a rec room or whatever, or, you know, and not have to pay a ton of money for a flat screen, although flat screens are really cheap nowadays. I mean, the 32-inch Roku TV I bought at Walmart was $99 at the time, and it was really, really good. It's really, really, really good. Picture quality is good. I didn't need anything really gigantic for the bedroom, so I got a 32-inch, and that's what I have in here. It's really nice. Put it on top of the chest of drawers, or dresser, as some of you people call it, and it really looks nice. So, now I have attached to it the Fire TV stick, as well as the Chromecast. Now, Fire TV gives you a lot more flexibility. You can put on third-party apps that are unofficial, which are not technically supposed to be on there. Roku, you can still do that, but it's harder to get on there. One of the ones I used to love on Roku was Nowhere TV because you could stream a bunch of different things on it. They don't let you put that on there anymore. And unfortunately, for those of us who liked it, the option's not there. Now, obviously, with Chromecast, you have the option of streaming anything from your phone or your TV or tablet straight to your TV through the Chromecast. which is a really nice option, especially for those of you watching HBO Max, because you can't do that with Roku and Fire TV right now. So, yeah, that's a real bummer for that. But let's say you've got a really nice YouTube video you want to watch on your big screen. All you have to do is put in your Chromecast, or you can actually do it through your Roku TV and all of that. But Chromecast is a good option if you have a TV that doesn't, you don't have a Roku and all that. Chromecast is pretty cheap, $35. But then again, Roku devices are not really that expensive anyway. So you can do the same thing for that. But it's nice to have it, especially if you're doing it straight from, say, a website video or something like that. And you can just pop it up there, and it's really, really cool to do. Fire TV gives you a lot of options, especially if you're like me and you like to kind of explore things, like stuff that you can watch on your TV that you can't necessarily get through DirecTV or Dish or your local cable system, whatnot. I don't know if it's my internet or if it's the Fire Stick I have, but I don't have the performance out of my Fire Stick that I like. So I'm kind of bummed out about that. So I'm going to say the Fire Stick experience for me has not been a positive one, although I will temper that by saying the internet, which I'm living out in the boondocks, is not exactly the greatest right now. So I will temper my opinion about that, at least for right now. But if you want my honest opinion about the streaming devices, Roku is your best bet. If you want flexibility to where you can get those, quote, illegal streams and such, Fire TV is your best bet. And obviously you've got Chromecast out there, which you can do from like your laptop, your tablet, your cell phone, what have you. And the cool thing I've got also in my little work desk, workplace desk thing, work office, whatever you want to call it, I've got a Google Nest Hub as well as a Amazon Echo Show. Now, it's easier to project stuff straight to the Google Nest Hub because it's basically using a Google Cast. Amazon, the only things I can project there are, I think, Hulu. I don't know about Hulu, but Amazon Prime you can do, as well as Spotify. Now on to the streaming services themselves, and I've used pretty much all of them except for Showtime, and I really need to do the 30-day trial for Showtime. HBO Max is a really nice, deep library, especially for those of us who like the CNN Decades miniseries from back in the day, just a few years ago. They're all available there. There's a lot more to HBO Max than just HBO stuff. I highly recommend it. To me, it's one of those things that you don't necessarily have to have, but if you're really interested in taking a look at Game of Thrones or other series like the Sopranos, Oz, what have you, Westworld, things like that, that's a really good service to use. Now, I've not tried Showtime yet. Stars is like HBO, you also have some movies you can watch there. I've not really looked through their latest catalog yet, although you've got some DC movies there, which I don't know why they're going to continue the DC Universe service. I think it would be best just to bring that into HBO Max and go there, but you know, that's just me. The Star service, you're mainly going there for movies. They do have some good TV series there. I've watched, it's pretty good. I mainly like the historical dramas and stuff like that, and some sci-fi and things like that. But it's one of those things, it's the reason it's inexpensive as it is because Starz doesn't have the catalogs that Showtime and HBO have, especially HBO. And I think though, if you like it's one of those things you can pop, you can, the great thing about these streaming services is they're basically month to month. If you want to keep it on for a month, you can watch it, and then you can take it off, whatever, what have you, and all of that. And it's pretty good. Now, the only reason I even have Disney Plus is because I've got it with a combination of Disney, Hulu, and ESPN Plus, which is a nice little package deal I've got. They really should keep it going. And in my honest opinion, they really ought to fold ESPN Plus into Disney Plus and just go ahead and call it a day. But there are going to be some ESPN people who go like, I don't want the whole Disney catalog. I just want to watch sports. So I think that's a very smart move on their part because it keeps everything apart. And it makes a lot of sense from the perspective that you have this huge wealth of Disney material, but people are not going to want to just buy. They're going to still want to have access to the newer stuff. And it's interesting that Disney has only gotten like maybe one or two original series on there. I know the Mandalorian's out there. They may have one or two others, but here's an interesting thing about Disney Plus is that that's really the only original series they've got on right now, except there may be one or two more that I'm not aware of, but Star Wars is their big thing. Marvel's another big thing of theirs. I think they're going to be bringing out some more Marvel original stuff here in the next little bit. It's a very smart move to have that kind of deep catalog. Especially when you consider The Simpsons is like 30 seasons old and you can stream that forever, it seems like. So, you know, you could make do with just Disney Plus and HBO Max and you'd be good to go for a while there because HBO has the DC movies and such. And, you know, I think that HBO Max has some original stuff that's coming out in the near future that will be interesting to see. CBS All Access is out now. They obviously have Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard. Picard is interesting to say the least. It's definitely different from The Next Generation, which may be a plus and a minus in their book. Let me be the first to say I'm not a prude or anything like that, but to me, when it comes to Star Trek, do you really need the cursing? Do you really need to be kind of racy with Star Trek? Not really. I mean, you don't really need to go there, in my honest opinion. Same with Discovery. I think you could do the same things without being too racy and too violent and all that. You can kind of scale it back a little bit. But that's just me. You know, Star Trek is trying to cater to a different audience these days that likes Game of Thrones, The Expanse, which has a little bit more spice, so to speak. So there is definitely that. Now, there's one that's coming out next month called Peacock. It's through NBC Universal. And theirs is going to be free, although they're going to have a premium service, which will give you extra content. The reason I bring that up is that it's going to be a challenge to Disney Plus / ABC, as well as CBS All Access, because right now CBS All Access you have to pay for. It's like $4.99 a month, but you still have to do ads and all that. The thing about that is that with if Peacock remains free, that's going to challenge all these other services to go, should we offer an ad-based service like Hulu once did, where you can watch these shows for free as long as you watch the ads, which will be an interesting thing to see. Now, with premium, I think you can take out those ads, or at least ads for the most part, and you can get access to different content and all this, so it won't be quite free, but you'll get a bulk of content on Peacock now. What all it is, I mean, I know Battlestar Galactica is going to be on there, both new and old, and a few other things. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. That comes out on July 15th, if I'm not mistaken, maybe around that date. So we've got what? 3 weeks or so before that happens. So yeah, it should be very interesting to say the least. I really think that we're in the age right now where we are about to get rid of cable and satellite completely, unless they really change their tune. I remember, though, a time when cable and satellite TV were going to get rid of broadcast television completely. That hasn't happened. There was a time when television was supposed to get rid of radio completely. That didn't happen. So all this talk about streaming services getting done with cable and satellite, I don't think that's going to entirely happen, but what I think will happen is that those services will be moved on to the streaming services themselves. AT&T already has one out with AT&T, used to be called DirecTV Now. Dish, I'm sure, will do the same thing in the near future. So basically, you can co cut your cord, but you can still get the service at a cheaper rate. And that is, I think, what's going to happen, is that in the near future, you're going to have these spin-off services where you can kind of pick and choose what you want from month to month. Now, if you bring them all, if you try and get them all together at one time, it's going to be just as expensive and not more expensive than cable. But the thing is about this, with these month-to-month services, is that you're not contractually bound to keep it for a year or so. You don't have to have physical equipment except for your router. And I think in the near future, all you'll need is your cell phone, because you'll be able to stream stuff, use your. As data services expand, as capacity grows, you'll be able to get to stream your stuff on a hotspot with your, through your phone. In some cases you can do that already, but AT&T is not letting these third-party services that use their towers do it. I'm looking at you, Wing. That's the reason I got you, was for that. And just as when I was getting it, they put the clamps down. You cannot stream up to hotspot past 22 gig. Something like that. Boo-hoo. Okay. So yeah, but in the near future, I'd say within the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to have unlimited hotspot through Straight Talk, Wing, other services and such, because AT&T and Verizon and such will want to do the same thing. That's going to be interesting for the local internet providers, because they're going to have to try and keep up, which pretty much they are. But it's going to be a great boon for places like where I live at, which all we can get is AT&T right now. There's Sky Runner that's more expensive and nominally the same quality, but it uses microwave towers and such, line of sight, things like that, which is a little bit better than AT&T. You obviously run into the fact that it'll be slowing down when if it's cloudy and such, like with DirecTV. But I think in the near future, you're going to see a lot more changes in the streaming service industry. I think a lot of the stuff you're seeing now on cable television is going to come to the streaming services. I think that live television is going to be where it's at, will be the big boon for DirecTV and Dish Network as they're trying to make their way over. Same with SiriusXM. The only difference is, and I think this is where Starlink comes in through Elon Musk outfit, is that it's changing from where you're getting your signals from the satellite. Now you're getting internet from the satellite system. And when that comes online, and if you can get high speed internet by bouncing a signal up from on into a satellite and coming back down, and especially if it works during inclement weather, that changes the ball game tremendously, especially if you live out in the boondocks like I do. Because it means you can get high quality service without a ton of equipment, without being connected to a wire that can be cut by somebody 3 miles down the road and you're screwed, you know. Because I remember 30 years ago, I needed to watch something for school, for college at the time, and the transformer, no, not transformer didn't blow, it was a cable got knocked out from the cable office. So yeah, that sucked, and we didn't have an antenna at the time, so I was kind of like, luckily it was one of those things that was so widespread that the professor gave us an extension on it. So, yeah, streaming services are going to be the big thing in the near future. I look forward to the day that we are seeing more stuff online like that, because it's stuff you can take with you on a tablet or a cell phone, or you can do more on your little, like, Google Nest Hub, Google, or Amazon Echo Show, things like that. And yeah, it's a very cool time to be living in, because I'm old enough to remember where you can only get 3 networks. There were no VCRs, so if you missed it, you missed it, and you had to hope you caught it on a rerun, and that would be months down the road. So nowadays, you can watch old shows until your heart's content and be very, very fulfilled that way. Now, before I leave, I'm going to talk about new content in this age of COVID. Hollywood's starting to get back up and running, but there's always a risk they could be shut right back down. And with the fact they've got to put masks on in California now, that means that a lot of these studios are going, what are the rules for us? I mean, we're indoors, we're working, are we supposed to keep masks on while we're doing these productions and such? That's going to be a very interesting thing, to say the least. I personally think that it's going to be a while before, quote-unquote, Hollywood's not one of these, is not a place anymore in the sense of the entertainment industry. It's basically a name for an industry. Movies, television production, stuff like that, it's going to be bogged down for a bit, because there are going to be regulations all over the place. They're different from one jurisdiction to another, one country to another, one state to another, one locality to another, depending on where you live at. So it will be interesting the next couple of years about seeing new content. The stuff that's already been made will probably get really a lot of really good business. But I would dare say that next summer, yeah, the movie season next summer is not going to be that great. And all the grand plans we had for these Marvel movies and all this other franchise stuff is going to be on the back burner for a while, because simply put, you know, we're probably going to lose another couple of months of production, and it takes a while to make these things. So yeah, we just lost connection with Spreaker. So yeah, we're going to probably end it there on Spreaker. We'll keep going here for the next couple of minutes on Anchor. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they do things. The industry's going to have to change a lot. I would dare say you're probably going to see a lot of productions which are going to be quick, fast-paced. They can get stuff done with a minimal of effects, with a minimal of post-production and all that. Basically where they don't have to have a huge cast, where they don't have to have I could see theatrical productions becoming a thing, because if you, let's say you put Broadway plays on television, I know that Broadway has a streaming service, I'm not sure what the name of it is, if it's Broadway HD or something like that, but I could see that being spun off onto television, where basically it's a set, we have a few people doing camera, you could do robotic cameras this day and age, where you have few people interacting, where you don't have a whole lot of people on set, and you can do it. I could see a return of live television like this, because you'd have a minimum of people in the back running robotic cameras, and you're doing stuff that way. So, yeah, theoretically, you could do that. It'll be interesting to see how that happens. I could see a lot of independent things taking off next year, because it's just somebody with a few friends of theirs that are being very, very cautious, producing stuff and shooting it and putting it together and selling it in Hollywood. So that is a huge deal right there. Well, I'm going to end the podcast right now. Hope you enjoyed it. And next thing you know, we'll probably do something different, completely different, because that's the John Thomas Hill Show way. We like to do things differently, not to give you the same thing over and over again. So we'll have some social media up here in the near future. We've got a Facebook page, John Thomas Hill Show on Facebook. Just look us up there. And that is all for now. As we like to say here, good night, good luck, and may the good news be yours.